Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are starting Parakhov Bez, the 22nd Parakh of Mesechas Shabbos. Today we're going to be learning Parakhov Bez Mishnah Aleph and Parakhov Bez Mishnah Bez. The Chachamim made a gezeirah, made a decree that if a barrel of liquid, whether it be oil or wine and so on, broke, and all of the liquid is spilling out and it's going to go to waste on Shabbos, you're allowed to save only a limited amount of the liquid that is spilling. So a similar idea earlier in the Masechta, when it came to how many meals you can save if there's a fire, and the concern over there was that we're concerned that you're going to put out the fire. The concern over here is that if you're allowed to save an unlimited amount of the liquid, then you're going to be carrying these containers in a Rishus Harab, in a public domain, from one place to here to save as much liquid as you possibly can. So the Mishnah is going to say that you're only allowed to save a limited amount of the liquid that is spilling. Says the Mishnah, Chaviz shenishbera matzilin himena mazon shalosh seudos, that if a barrel of food broke, you're allowed to save from it only enough of the liquid to save for the three Shabbos meals. Again, the Chachamim forbade the owner to save more than this amount because they were concerned that as he rushes to obtain empty containers to collect it, he might carry containers through a public area through a rishus ha-rabim. Continuing in the Mishnah, Omer la'achirim bo'u v'hatzila lachem, the rabbis did say that he can tell to other people. Again, we saw this earlier as well, that he can say, come and save some food for yourselves, meaning he can invite them to save food from the broken, from the broken barrel. Uvilvat shelo yispok, and the Chachamim said that saving liquid for these three meals is only allowed if he does not use a sponge to soak up the liquid, because this would be the malacha of schita, which is like, which is a subcategory of dush, of threshing, that you're not allowed to squeeze out liquid from one thing to another, which is, again, this malacha of schita. It's for the same reason why you can't really, one of the reasons, one of the issues with taking a shower on Shabbos, besides for obviously heating up the water, which you can't do, is when you dry yourself off, you're going to have schid, you're going to squeeze the water out of the towel, which you're not allowed to do. Same issue here when it comes to using the sponge. Now that we mentioned this malacha, this issue of squeezing liquid from a sponge, we're now going to discuss squeezing juice from a fruit. It says the Mishnah, in sochatin asaperus lahutzi mihen mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos in order to extract or take out the juice from them again, because this would be the malacha of schita, which again is a tolda, a subcategory of threshing. Again, removing the juice from the fruit is a malacha on a Torah level, a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, ve'im yotzu me'atzman asurin, that even if the juice came out by itself on Shabbos, the Chachamim still said that you're not allowed to drink it because they're concerned that drinking the juice might lead a person to squeeze the fruit in order to get more juice. So we said that even if the juice comes out by itself, you didn't do a malacha, you didn't do a schita, you still can't drink from that juice that came out from the fruit. However, we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda takes a little bit of an exception to this question of what happens when the juice comes out on its own. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im la'achalin hayotze mehen mutter." If the fruit was intended to be used as food, meaning you just wanted to eat the food, the owner only stored the fruit in order to eat it, then you're allowed to drink the juice that drips out of those fruits. Ve'im lemashkan ayotze man aser. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, if the initial intention was to have the juice, was to have the liquid from the fruit, then in that situation, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Tana Kama, namely, that drinking from the fruit juice that oozed out, that dripped out of the fruit, would be prohibited in that situation. That although the Chachamim were concerned that one might squeeze out more juice on Shabbos, that concern, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only applies where the owner originally intended to use the fruit for that purpose. But if he intended to eat the fruit, then he presumably wants the remaining juice to stay in the fruit, and there is little concern that he will actually remove and extract more juice. Now, finishing off the Mishnah, just as it is also forbidden to drink juice that oozed out of fruit, the same is true when it comes to eating honey that oozed out of a honeycomb. The question now here is going to be a question regarding whether this prohibition includes even honey that flows out of a honeycomb that was crushed before Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Chalos devash sheriskon me'er of Shabbos, if one crushed honeycombs before Shabbos, v'yotsu me'atzman asurim, and honey flowed out by itself on Shabbos. So the Chachamim ruled that the honey is usher to be eaten, it cannot be eaten on Shabbos, because that might lead to actively extracting more honey. However, Rabbi Eliezer matir. Rabbi Eliezer permits such honey because one is unlikely to extract more. That since the honey is in a crushed honeycomb, that and the crushed honeycomb and the honey in a crushed honeycomb will come out by itself, people generally do not bother to actively remove the honey from it. The first thought, however, no, prohibited even the honey of a crushed honeycomb, because in his opinion, the rabbis were concerned that if this honey is permitted, people might extract honey from honeycombs that are not crushed. Continuing now with Parakhov Bey's Mishnah Bey's, as we learn some halachas related to cooking on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Kol Sheba Bechamin Me'er of Shabbos, that anything that was cooked in hot water before Shabbos, Shorin Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos. It may be soaked in hot water on Shabbos itself. And even though soaking food in hot water is a form of bishul, is a form of cooking, and is therefore normally not allowed to be done on Shabbos, in this case, where the food was already cooked before Shabbos, soaking it would be permitted. And this is the concept of ein bishul achar bishul, that once something's cooked, we assume that it cannot be cooked again. Therefore, you can soak the food in hot water once again. However, it says the Mishnah v'chol shelo b'vacham in me'er of Shabbos. However, but anything that was not cooked in hot water before Shabbos, medichon oso b'chamin b'shabbos, they only be rinsed in hot water on Shabbos, meaning you can't pour hot water over it, but you may soak, but one may not soak it in hot water, since this food is still not considered to be cooked. Soaking in hot water would be a form of cooking, which would not be allowed, but one would be allowed to pour hot water over it quickly, because that is not considered to be bishul, that is not considered to be cooking. However, we're going to have a few exceptions to this rule, where even rinsing it quickly would be usher as well. Chutz min hamaliach hayashan, the permission and the ability to rinse uncooked food in hot water applies to everything except for old salted fish, meaning fish that was salted at least a year before. Vidogim meluchim kitanim, small salted fish. Vikulias haispanin, and the Spanish sole, which is like, also it's like a type of fish with a very, very thin type of skin that also cooks very, very easily. That in these situations, with these types of food, when you rinse them in this way, then you're completing their food preparation. You're basically cooking them. They're very, very sensitive to any hot water, so even rinsing them would allow them to be cooked. And therefore, even rinsing them would not be allowed, because that would be considered cooking on Shabbos. Quick review. Perek Chaf Beis Mishnah Aleph taught us that if a barrel of food broke, really a barrel of liquid broke, then you may save from it only enough liquid for the three Shabbos meals that are remaining, because we're concerned that otherwise, if you can just take as much as you want, then you're just going to carry many, many containers to you to get the liquid in a Rishos HaRab, in a public domain. The rabbis allowed you as well to say to others, come and save some food for yourselves. You can invite other people to join in you saving as much as you can. Again, they can also only take enough for the remaining three meals of Shabbos. And then we said, though, that the Chachamim said that you're not allowed, this permission to save the liquid, it only works if one does not use a sponge. You can't soak up anything on Shabbos, because then you might squeeze the liquid out of it, which you're not allowed to do, because that's the malacha of schita. And then once we start to discuss the malacha of schita, the Mishnah taught us that you're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos in order to remove and take out some of the juice from them, because this is a form of threshing, which again, schita is a tolda of dash. Schita, squeezing out juice or liquid from its source, is a malacha on Shabbos. And according to the Tanakhama, even if the juice comes out by itself, then you were also there not allowed to benefit and drink from the juice that came from it, because we're concerned that if you're going to drink it, then you're going to drink out and squeeze out more of the juice from the initial fruit. However, Rabbi Huda makes a little bit of a caveat to this discussion and says that if the fruit was intended as food, then you're allowed to drink liquid that just oozes out accidentally, not because of you, from the fruit, because the assumption is that if you wanted it as food, then you're not going to drink out, you're not going to squeeze out more of the juice. If, however, your initial intention was for the juice, then we are concerned that maybe you are going to squeeze out more juice, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And as the Bartzner points out, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, namely, that if the initial intention of having the fruit there was for food, then you would be allowed to benefit from any of the juice that's squeezed out on its own from the fruit. Then the Mishnah concluded by discussing the case of crushed honeycombs. We said that if one crushed honeycombs before Shabbos, then according to the Tanakhama, if honey flowed out by itself on Shabbos, then it's still usher to be eaten on Shabbos, because that might lead to actively extracting more honey. Rabbi Eliezer was lenient, and as the Bartzner points out, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and he says no, that this honey is allowed because one is unlikely to extract more in this situation, because the honey in a crushed honeycomb is going to come out by itself, and therefore people are generally not going to bother to actively take out more of the honey. And then Parachav Beis, Mishnah Beis, began discussing some halachos related to Bishul on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos, where we said that anything that was cooked in hot water before Shabbos may be soaked in hot water on Shabbos itself, because again, we have this concept of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, once it's cooked before Shabbos, so if you soak it with more hot water, then you can't cook it more, because once it's cooked, it can't be cooked anymore. It can't be cooked anymore on Shabbos itself. And then we said that anything that was not cooked in hot water before Shabbos may only be rinsed. You could rinse it without water, but you certainly can't soak it in hot water. Just rinsing it quickly is not considered to be cooking those items. And the Mishnah gave some examples of things that can't even be rinsed on Shabbos because they're so sensitive to any hot water that they would be cooked if they were rinsed with hot water. Have a great day.